Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. I'm your host, Jeffrey Wright. As always, you can listen live on 92.9 or 680 AM on the radio dial. But now, thanks to the work of our producer, George Ruggiero, you can also stream us anytime, anywhere. We're on Twitter or X, the Everything app. We're also streaming live on Twitch and YouTube. So thanks to the hard work of our producer, George Ruggiero, who you can follow on the Everything app at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day, Jeffrey.
Got us rolling online. My company is each and every Monday. He's the maestro of fun and games here in Memphis. He's also the host of Writer Than Right Trivia Thursdays on the Jeff Calkins Show, 10:30 Central Time. His website, CerritoEntertainment.com. On the Everything app, at Cerrito. Kevin, good day, sir.
Greetings, Jeffrey. Happy Thanksgiving week. One of my favorite
feast
weeks
week,
of the
baby.
Year. Yes, it's exciting. Hey, tonight I'll be out at IKEA. Anybody listening, we still have limited spots available. We're playing IKEA. We're playing bingo at IKEA. So up there in the front of IKEA tonight, it's free to play. We're starting at 5:30. You do need to sign up online, but you can go to CerritoBingo.com, find out where you can sign up.
Playing at the new cafeteria?
Playing up at the bistro up front at the IKEA.
Oh, okay, up front.
So
okay.
They got the bistro there. We'll be giving away IKEA prizes. We've been saying you can win some Christmas gifts or, you know, keep them for yourself, however you want to do it. But yeah, it starts at 5:30 tonight. You need to sign up. It's free to play there at IKEA, Idcourt over the Memphis IKEA. It's one of my favorite events that we do here to start one of my favorite events of the year here. And George will be take care of business in Olive Branch, though, at Huey's, where we've got Music Bingo. So if you're in DeSoto County, Music Bingo tonight at 7.
Come on down.
Thanksgiving edition of Music Bingo tonight.
It'll be a good time.
Our newest Huey's location.
Yes.
Spot on. Look at this. He knows it already.
I've heard the ads once or twice. Let's see what we got coming up on the program. It is Monday, so we'll overreact to the weekend. We'll start with some basketball, then we'll maybe get into some college football. Get into our TV time out next segment. I want to get Kevin's thoughts about College Game Day. Also, one of Kevin's, and let's be honest, one of my favorite stories of the summer. Jordan says that she's suing Pablo Torre.
Well, we'll get into that later. Let's get into that later.
Yeah. The New York Post was also doing some investigating over the weekend as well. Talk about that and more. We'll get into the list. We'll have a coaching carousel update at that point, because we have learned now that Florida State says that they are retaining Mike Norvell. I would be curious to know if what could happen in Gainesville on Saturday would have any impact, or perhaps did they release the statement essentially saying that no result this weekend will impact this decision, but he's coming back. We've had an ACC firing, but probably not the one you had on the bingo card. We'll get into more from the coaching carousel. We had another Georgia driving incident. Those never go old. We'll welcome CJ Hurt to the program during hour number two. His Michigan Wolverines have a big one on Saturday. And we'll tell your story, and then we'll get out of here. But I think let's start with overreacting to the weekend. And I guess I'll start here. Are y'all cool taking it chronological order? So starting with Friday night with the Tigers.
It's one of those weekends where you got to figure out a way to take it. Right?
Unless y'all would very much want to start in a different order, I figure let's go chronological.
I think it's one of those because they're all big in their own way.
All right. So my overreaction from Friday night, I'm still not out on this Tiger basketball team. Now, what I would point out is I feel like I've been pretty consistent on this. When the Tigers feel like it's a big game and they respect the team that they're playing, you get a good effort. And right. I think yet again we saw another good effort. Yes, there were some blunders that were absolutely, in my opinion, unforgivable. I know everyone's focused on the decision to not miss the free throw. I found myself way more aggravated at Zach Davis's decision to keep putting the basketball up. No one at any point recognizing the shot clock was off. Kick it out. They've got a foul. So that one angered me. But yet again, that's another team that's probably a fringe NCAA tournament team in Wake Forest. And it was another game that at no point did I feel like the Tigers looked outclassed.
Right. I mean, you look at the trip, right, to the Bahamas. And if the Tigers would have won that game against Wake Forest,
I think you would have left feeling it was a successful trip.
I think very successful.
Not a perfect trip, but good
trip. This team, very successful because the Purdue game was much more watchable than anybody could have even imagined. I know especially you. You were not looking forward to that game, Jeffrey.
Not looking forward to it, but by the time the game tipped off, I realized, the Tigers are live here.
Yeah, they were, and that was... Like, you could not ask for this particular team. You couldn't ask for more. Obviously, a year ago, didn't necessarily ask for it, but the Tigers went out there and they beat the number one team, right? So, like,
I think it's much more likely Purdue is going to be a big part of the college basketball story this year than UConn was last year.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Because UConn was coming in with the brand, right? The brand was helping them to that number one.
If Purdue gets the equivalent of an 8 seed this year, I would be surprised.
Right.
I'm not saying that I think they're going to be the team that spends the most weeks at number one. I have no idea. But I do think that team's old, that team's experienced, and they're good where you have to be good. The problem that UConn had last year was they gambled on a transfer point guard that basically set them off. Then Liam McNeely was battling injuries, and it didn't work. This team that Purdue has, I think they're going to be a part of the story for the whole season.
So, and the Tigers played them close enough to give you many moments during that game where you're like, they might be able to do this, you know? Like, you believed in the Tigers for a moment, so that was fantastic against Purdue. But then you get to the Wake Forest game, and the Tigers should have won that game. So you'd be coming out of the Bahamas and with a win against a power conference team that historically is more than decent at basketball in Wake Forest, and then Purdue, right? You would have played them close, the number one team in the country. That would have been close enough, you know, closer than you.
I mean,
I
understand it's not apples to apples, but the Tigers gave Purdue a much tougher test than Texas Tech did in their well-funded roster the next night.
Well, there you go. So anyway, you would be positive. The problem is how it ended up, right?
Yep.
And how that game ended drops. You get the John Martin's comparison to Larry Finch comes out of that. If the Tigers win that game, are we talking Larry Finch at all today? Like, are we bringing up the Larry legend in comparison to where Penny is? That's the last spot you want to land in the Penny Hardaway era, is all of a sudden bringing it back to Larry Finch. I mean, Larry Finch is a legend. You want to compare him to that. He's a former Tiger who is the coach of the team. But
so let's take that. Let's explore that topic. And I'm not saying that John's column's wrong. I think context matters, though. So let's take a look at Tiger basketball in the 96-97 season, and let's take a look at where Tiger basketball is now. Number one, Tiger basketball at that point in time was a much bigger part of national relevancy in terms of that program could compete. Number two, there were
a local relevancy, honestly, Jeffrey, but let's continue.
Yeah, but they were the only show in town.
Yeah.
But on top of that, you also have recruiting losses that were mounting up, local recruiting losses for Larry that were mounting up, and a much quicker pull the trigger attitude back then because of the job's relevancy. I still think there's not a result this year that winds up with Penny Hardaway getting fired outside of, like, scandal or something. You know what I mean? I'm not predicting scandal, but I'm talking about just a run-of-the-mill bad season.
Right.
I'm just not here. I am not. I'm nowhere near to the point that it's like, that's on the table,
arguing on behalf of John Martin, I don't think that's, was that necessarily, the point is it's eerily familiar.
Oh,
more
absolutely.
Than, more than ever before.
Like the 5-12 in the West region, like, yes.
And the number one reason people did not want to hire Penny Hardaway, the only main reason, right, locally, I mean, obviously people are like, oh, he's an AAU coach or whatever, but like the main reason was they didn't want it to end up like Larry Fitz.
What if it goes wrong?
What if it, look what we went through in the 90s with Larry Finch. So Larry, who coached Penny, prior to the season, he ended up getting fired. So there's definitely a lot of comparisons, but I to your point, yes, there's a lot of differences. It's a different world of college basketball today than it was then, especially for the University of Memphis Tigers. So that's true. But I mean, the end of the game was Penny's.
Oh, it was bad.
All right, so I guess he just didn't coach the end of the game, right? Like, that is a game moment of coaching. Is it? How does it compare to? And of course, I'm going to defend Penny here because I mean the most famous moment that I think of is also foul related. And when you talk about, you know, obviously Mario Chalmers, right, and Calipari not doing that, but that is a long debated what should you do at the end of the game moment. This is a strategic coaching strategy that is not debated that Penny screwed up on. We put them in the same category? Obviously, the stakes were not as high. Memphis versus Wake Forest in the loser's bracket in the Bahamas, not that big of a deal.
The Bahama.
Yeah, but the what do you see it? Is there a fair comparison to Calipari? As far as like that in the heat of the moment, can you miss this in the excitement and the momentum of the game? Is it because you've got all these new players and you haven't gone over this with them yet? What is the, how does this happen? Because Wake Forest went over this exact same scenario.
No, I mean, the worst,
we saw it on video. If you can watch it.
The worst part was they basically, the night before, they were down 4 though. But they basically ran the same play the night previously against Texas Tech to cut it to 1. So,
and there's like a practice video out there too. So
correct.
They're,
I mean, Wake it was the Forest, Valpo play. It was the Bryce Drew over Ole Miss.
Yes, they were very prepared for this moment to happen. And the Tigers were not, at least from the offensive/defensive, you know, for the where they were on the ball
so
in this moment.
I guess the way that I would answer your question is, there is somewhat of a debate over what you should do.
In this scenario with Penny or the, I mean, Calipari, there's historically been a debate that should have.
Right. So the problem with this one, for my opinion, on the Penny one is it appears that the decision to miss the second free throw.
Yes.
Never even occurred. Like,
right.
No one on the staff sat there and like said, like, hey, miss it. Penny didn't say it, and it didn't occur to Doug to miss it. The right strategy, and I don't even really think it's all that debatable, is you miss the, once he made the first one and you have the lead, you miss the second one simply because as soon as the ball touches somebody's hands, the clock starts.
And you don't have enough time.
And maybe someone throws a heave, but like I would much rather have somebody having to panic and make a purely lucky play than giving them the opportunity to execute a play that they have clearly practiced a lot.
Right. You don't want them to set up a play.
Correct.
You don't have to, you want it to be an improvisation of what should I do in this situation and have it be solely on the player that's touching the ball on what to do.
I know
versus giving them a time to catch their breath, make a game plan, and listen to the coach on here's what.
I know we focus on the make. The most impressive thing of the play for me is the inbounder the last two nights has like thrown absolute dimes.
They know their roles.
Like these are like great passes, like where it's exactly like the guy can turn, make the quick pass, like everything is there. I guess this definitely is loser talk. I thought the clock started a little late. Like, I kind of wanted him to get the stopwatch out. Like, when he...
Yeah.
Like, when they went to review, I thought it was clear he got the shot off. I felt like the clock started late. Like, in real time, I was like, that felt like more than a second and a half, but, like, that is definitely loser talk.
Right.
But I think, to me, I'm not even necessarily just saying, like, this is the worst coaching blunder I've ever seen. The last 30 seconds taken in, totality, that looked like a poorly coached basketball team. From not recognizing game clock, right. Or I'll say this, in fairness to Penny, it looked like one of two things. It was either a poorly coached team, or it was a team with a low basketball IQ. Because there were a lot of opportunities to show some situational awareness that did not occur.
And you do wonder, you know, Penny's, it's, you know, often talked about when you have somebody of Penny's basketball IQ, because we know he's got an amazing basketball IQ,
yes.
Right? And a vision of the court. But some of the stuff that comes natural to him, is he able to pass that along?
It's the Ted Williams argument.
Right. Yeah, he's
Ted Williams is like one of the greatest hitters of all time. Not a great hitting coach.
Because you don't know what it's like not to be awesome.
Sure. Just do
and
it.
Not to know everything. And so that is that what's happening here? Is it because it's such a new roster, right? Like that.
Well, I think that
but that's, you know.
Again, as someone who's not in practice, I actually think that my defense of it would be, I think they have been spending a lot of time in practice trying to figure out bigger issues than what do we do in a 1.5 second situation where, hey, man, if somebody just gets a hand on the ball and, like, even knocks it away a little bit, like, that can solve it. But I think right now they're trying to figure out, like, the rotations. They're trying to figure out, like, which bigs are going to play. They're trying to figure out how to get defenses with guys of who knows who's playing. Like, I think they are focused on bigger issue things. So to your point of getting the roster in later, maybe that's an issue. But, like, I think also, like, you can tell, like, they're trying to make decisions on which front court guys to play. And so
it's a hard job.
Right.
It's a hard job. And this is why, like, to jump back to the Larry Finch thing, like, what I wouldn't fire Penny. If as long as Penny wants to attempt to do this, because it is a hard job, then I don't know why he does. I don't know why year after year he wants to keep coming back and do this. It's a hard, stressful job to have, especially when it reaches a point like where we are now, where people can – it's with all the coaches in Memphis, the big three sports. We've talked about it a lot last Monday. But, like, why would you want to have this job anymore? Why would you want to do it anymore? That's
– I mean, what, it's $3.5 million?
Well, I guess, so you're saying it's still for the money. I mean, Penny –
I mean, Penny has made way more.
He's made a lot of money,
Penny,
but he can't
lost
have too much
money,
money.
Probably, yeah. Than I've ever made.
Yes, but you can't have too much. You can't have too much.
But the first rich guy that I've ever met that's like, you know what, I've got enough.
Are you seriously think Penny's still doing it for the money?
I'm not saying
money.
It's for the money. I think a lot of it is he likes to help kids.
He does
and
like to do that.
I think that's a big part of it.
And
also,
the university,
he's getting to coach his son again.
Yeah.
He's got another son that he gets to coach. Like, I think that there are reasons, and I think he wants to be the basketball coach of the University of Memphis because it's something that he believes in. But I also think he's not doing it for free.
Right. And when you talk about, you know, one key thing missing from his resume that Larry Finch had, which is, you know, his term is success. So that is something that Penny has yet to accomplish. He accomplished it, you know, on the team with Larry as the coach, but it is... It is it's just an unfortunate result. It doesn't change my opinion on it because, look, what Penny did last year was very impressive and how soon we can forget. But I think Penny did do what he was supposed to do last year and did it very well and exceeded expectations in a lot of ways with last year's team. It was a more talented team. And with the current state of college basketball, it's hard. It's a hard job, and it's a hard job. He was unsuccessful on a key part of that job in the off season of retaining the talent and bringing back the right players. So, you know, we'll see how he gets through this. It's not easy. It's not easy. But last year was very successful, and that makes me, you know, not as upset because, as you pointed out, if it could have gone so close to being some optimism that the Tigers could win the stretch of tough games that they have coming up?
I think the biggest reason why I'm not out on them is we have now seen 5 games. They've not been outclassed in any of them. Even in the UNLV loss, it wasn't like you're sitting there going, man, UNLV's just got way better players. It was, man, the Tigers look like they don't care. And I'm not trying to take away anything from UNLV and the job that, like, it was very obvious to me that Pastner and his team were more ready to go that night. Yes. Now, the concern that I do have is what happens in these next 2 games? These next 2 games, you got Southern Illinois and you got New Orleans. And if the home games have been any indication so far, I do not exactly think this is just going to be a game where the atmosphere in the building is going to lift the Tigers.
Right.
And these have been the games that do leave me questioning. These are going to be 2 opponents that not going to be easy to get up for. What are they going to look like? Are they going to sleepwalk? Are they going to have a UNLV performance again? Is that going to be the, oh, this is the game we all get our stats and it looks disjointed and it's a terrible result? This is kind of where these are the games that I feel like I'm learning more from because they don't have the margin for error in these games anymore. Like they've got to pick up some wins, and these are the games you got to start winning.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. That these are the ones. Like when you play an opponent like UNLV, the way that the Tigers lost in that game, when you play the inferior opponents, that's the one where you gotta impress me on those. So otherwise, could be a disaster. But we'll see. With a lot more season to go. But I'm with you. I'm not worried about this team just yet. The expectations are different for this season, and
yeah,
you can understand that. Then that was a fine trip.
All right. My second overreaction from the weekend. Klay Thompson told the truth, but he's not really a reliable narrator. Like, I do think there are some things that Klay said that I think rang true. Number one, like, it really does suck that Ja's not been on the floor more.
Right.
I'm not saying that, oh, like, this is, oh, he's faking injuries or whatnot. Like, that does suck. I do think it's also true at times, whether it be just Ja, but the Ja Morant era has been a lot of front running. A lot of talk with not a lot of banners. And I also think that it is 100% true. Like, Klay Thompson is sitting there going after Ja when it's like, hey man, he took like a shot from the logo to end the game, like cost his team. Like, what are you doing? Just lashing out because you didn't play well? Like, right. And I will say this. I was glad to see Ja engaged from the sideline.
Yeah.
Like, does the fact that Ja is involved make it a bigger story and allow for the hashtag discourse to continue? Absolutely. They'll find something else to talk about. So at least on this one, like, it was him being involved in a game and showing like some spirit and engagement, and I'll take that.
And sticking up for the team, like the being the quote unquote leader. So it's like people always complain about Ja not doing, you know, when he does it, he does it wrong. Apparently, you know, like he's sticking up. He can't do it while, you know, don't do that while you're in street clothes. Well, like what is he supposed to wait 2 more weeks and then say something to Klay Thompson? Like, what is he supposed to do? He's in street that he's.
And it was kind of like taking up for
it in the moment.
It was kind of like taking up for your guy's inception because he was using the bum line.
Right. That seems like it was a callback.
Right. So it was a throwback.
Yeah.
Correct. And
bulletin board material or whatever that was still in his mind when it comes to Golden State. And so I look, I like seeing the passion, right? That's what we always say. And Ja leading. It didn't seem like it's not like he was throwing punches or something. So he wasn't doing, you know, he was sticking up for his team, and he just happened to be in street clothes. Like, I think he can be a leader whether he's dressed or not dressed.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Now, like, I do also think, like, hey, he has a lot to say all the time for especially for a guy who rarely takes accountability. Like, there's some truth there. But again, why are you talking? Because he didn't play well.
Right.
He got involved. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just don't think that he is a reliable narrator. He came across to me as like, man, he wishes like he were still in Golden State.
Oh, for sure he does. Yeah. I mean, especially since, you know, anytime you leave and they're still successful. But yeah, it's great. We got a villain that's going to get booed every time he touches the ball when the Mavs come back to town. So I'm excited about that.
All right. Did anybody else have any overreactions from the Grizzlies?
No, I mean, I don't know if there's like Edie for All-Stars, right? That's a true overreaction. But
I will say this, like, because George and I were talking about this like last week where we kind of had the fear of like the season had gone so poorly that it felt like we were putting way too many eggs in the Zach Edie's going to make everything better basket. But so far, I've been pleasantly surprised. Now, granted, there's some competition level and some level of haven't really gone up against a bunch of bigs, and tonight is an entirely different challenge. You know, you go from basically non-NBA level bigs to definitely the best big on the planet, if not the best player on the planet. But so far, everything looks a lot better with Zach Edey.
Right. And I mean, the early part of this season, I mean, Zach Edey, Coward, like all of it, like the youth in the future of this team looks bright from a roster perspective. Like the pieces are getting assembled, and when will they all be healthy? Can they come together? What other moves? And the draft position for the Grizzlies. So the future looks bright. It's just a lot of question marks on what can Ja do. Can Ja still lead this team to where they need to be? And can Isolo do the same as the head coach? I mean, those are the big question marks. Can Jaren play to his contract? We haven't seen that, right? So there is some disappointing parts to the season so far. But this weekend, yeah. My goodness, Zach Edey, where have you been? MVP on this team for right now. So what a draft pick. What a draft pick. Steal of the draft when we got.
I think the other thing that was somewhat encouraging, it's like, okay, as bad as it has been, they're sitting here at 6-11, and they're in 10th. And yeah, there's only one team behind them, which would be the cutoff
and 10th
line
isn't bad.
For the playoff, for the play-in. The only team that's behind them that I think like could make a move Clippers. Is the Clippers.
Yeah.
But the Clippers also feel like if we did talk about this preseason, like if there's a team that we expect to be good that had bad vibes and things could go south, the Clippers were definitely on that. I do not think that they're going to stay there. But then also you have, like, how long's Portland hanging around?
Right.
I don't know.
If you want to talk about a good weekend, Donovan Clingan over the weekend was...
Kling clong?
Oh, my goodness. Yep. He was ridiculous.
All right. Also, the Grizzlies taking on the Nuggets tonight. All right, this would be my other massive overreaction from the weekend. I thought this was hyperbolic, but the more I've thought about it, I think I'm in on the take.
All right, let's hear it.
This could be the most consequential rivalry week in the history of college football. So there's a few things at play. Number one, let's start with the obvious why this could be true. We've never had this many teams alive this late. So normally when you get to rivalry week, there's maybe one or two games in the four team era. I mean, but honestly, basically in the BCS era, it was like championship weekend because that would oftentimes dictate, you know, anything. But now when you look at it, we have essentially on every single night a consequential game.
After Thursday, the Tigers.
Can Navy still get in?
Yeah, they could. Okay, so it's consequential, right? Yeah, just don't want to.
Let me check. My
initial thought is
no. I feel
like after their last loss that they're done.
But I'm not 100% sure.
Okay, here's where it becomes complicated. If Navy were to win.
Oh, Navy's definitely.
They finish at 7-1. Now, the committee, I think, did the league a solid. By ranking Tulane, they avoided this. If Tulane would not have been ranked, it was going to come down to these rankings and tiebreakers that your team that has the best chance to be the playoff team could have been left out. You could have wound up with a championship game of North Texas and Navy. But Navy on Thursday night will still technically be alive because Tulane will not have played and North Texas will have played.
All right.
So we still have a consequential game on almost every single night. Now let's get over to Friday. So on Friday, we have one of the strangest egg bowls of my entire life, in which you have a coach that is seemingly 1 foot out the door, but on top of that, you have a rivalry road game,
right,
with a team playing for not only a chance to be bowl eligible, but also a chance to prevent their hated in-state rival from hosting a playoff game, which would likely be the biggest sporting event in the history of the state of Mississippi. Like, and they can prevent all of that. And then, on top of that, you have this dilemma of Ole Miss can either go 11-1, host a playoff game, and have the greatest regular season since the integration of the sport, versus perhaps a 10-2 team that could have had the worst 10-2 season ever. A 10-2 season where conceivably you could be left out of the playoff and lose your coach. And you lost that game with everything on the line. So you don't have to work very hard for narrative in that one.
Not at all.
Then we get to Georgia Tech.
I mean, the fact that, yeah, everybody's still alive, but also you've got some of these teams like Georgia Tech, who's usually a non-factor.
Correct.
Like, they've been a factor all year.
Well,
they can,
and like,
definitely
does
be Georgia.
Does this game, they took them to 9 overtimes last year and blew a 3-score lead.
Oh, my goodness.
But like,
yes.
Does
how
this,
can we forget? That was awesome.
Yeah. Does this win eliminate their, like, does this make up for losing to Pitt?
Like, what is it? Yeah, what does it do?
Like, I don't know. I think that loss kind of did them in, but there's still the possibility of, all right, that win could maybe get us back. Then you have the nightcap, Texas A&M at Texas.
Woo.
That's a 2.5-point line. And then on top of the other Ole Miss of it all,
everybody's been waiting for Texas A&M to slip up, right?
If Texas beats Texas A&M at home, and then the next day, if Auburn defeats Alabama at home in the Iron Bowl.
Possible.
Ole Miss is in the SEC championship game, and they've already announced, we expected an announcement on Lane Kiffin's future on Saturday. So what are they going to do if they're in the SEC championship game? Are they punting another weekend?
So in order to get to the
SEC, are they going to coach the SEC? Are they going to have an interim coach at the SEC championship game?
What's our scenario to get to the SEC championship?
Ole Miss needs A&M to lose and Alabama to lose.
And, of course, they need to win.
Correct.
Against Mississippi State.
Correct.
And then, so we've got the A&M is at Texas. And while they've been the best team in the SEC all year, nobody's
infallible.
Yeah, and nobody's really, truly believed in Texas A&M as being a true force, like in the old days of the top team in the SEC. So, yeah, it's possible Texas was supposed to be the number one team in the country this year. And at times they played with like it. So that's possible. And then Auburn, Alabama, it's a rivalry game. And this Alabama team hasn't played like they're going to lose teams they're not supposed to lose to very often. But
well,
last year they did.
Well, George and I were talking about this, though.
Yeah.
They had a great stretch of football where they were winning games.
Unbelievable stretch earlier.
But they weren't, like, blowing everyone out. They were just playing good, solid football.
And they were beating ranked teams.
But if you look back to really starting at South Carolina, like, could have easily lost that game, but South Carolina said, no, not today. We'll lose this one for you. Oklahoma pops them, and Auburn turned to Deuce Knight, their highly decorated true freshman quarterback, who is a mobile quarterback, and we have seen at times mobile quarterbacks have given Alabama some problems. Now, this young man will be making the most significant start of his entire life. Like, so, like, there's that whole element, but it's not inconceivable that Auburn has done stranger things in this series. All right. Then also on Saturday, Oregon, who just picks up a nice win over the weekend, really kind of handling USC. They now have to go to Washington. Their resume is still quite thin. It's like, if they were to lose to Washington, are they still in? Like, there's aspects of it. It's like, I think, but we still haven't seen everything else. I mean, Michigan could truly do the funniest thing ever. Like, I mean, if they did it again, and then they would be 10-2 with the most... With the only win over Ohio State this season, like
if you can do it, Is that the least believable one for you, or you believe
it? It's this weird thing where it's like my eyes tell me yes, but it's almost like because of what happened last year, I am still open to the idea that this could just be the ultimate mental like roadblock where Ohio State just has it. I also think, though, what kind of played a little bit into last year is that Ohio State had so many of those guys that were in their like their fourth year and had never beaten them that I think they started to make it a much tighter thing. And then also, when quarterback probably got concussed, like the reason why I don't think it's as doable this year is I don't think Michigan's defense is as good as it was last year. But again, there's this reality of like, I don't know, maybe this is like the ultimate just this team cannot function against this other team. We haven't even mentioned Tennessee and Vanderbilt, with Vanderbilt playing for an opportunity perhaps to play their way in, but they've got to go to Knoxville to do it.
Been done before, yeah. And this, why not this season? We've got, yeah, but no, that's the whole day. Like, you have Florida.
Yes.
Like when you get to Saturday, you have Florida State. Like, how does this change the coaching situation with everybody?
I don't
know.
Like
Norvell has been assured he's got the job, right? We got that statement this week. Mike Norvell's not going anywhere for Florida State. But will he? Will they change their mind?
I mean, we also have this situation where Oklahoma's hosting LSU, and while LSU completely sleptwalked to a Western Kentucky win, Oklahoma's offense is not really good enough to sit there and go, like, there's no chance, even though their defense is outstanding. Like, there's just no one that you sit there and go, like, that's a no-doubter. We still have, like, ACC implications. Like, Virginia Tech can spoil Virginia's dream run. Yeah. Like, it's just pretty much throughout the day. Like, it could be basically the most consequential rivalry week we've seen.
Yeah, for a minute I was going to say, oh, it's just, I agree with you from the SEC perspective, but you're right. It does branch out to everyone. And is it because of the playoffs?
It's the number of teams that are still alive, and that's what makes it different.
Because there's stakes. Like, I mean, we bring up Florida State. Florida, there's stakes there, but it's not the playoffs. But there's stakes there, and the coaching situation is a reflection of the modern college football universe that we're in, of, you know, Florida not having a coach, Florida State sticking to their coach, but what will happen if blah, blah, blah. You know, this could be there's a lot happening. There's even the bad teams, like you're saying, LSU there. There's believable moments. Auburn does not look great. They don't have a coach right now. But, like,
well, I mean, then there's this other reality of, like, Auburn allegedly has a deal in place with John Sumrall. If DJ Durkin wins the Iron Bowl, would right. that change things? Because
it will knock Alabama out.
Well, and on top of that, it's like you've already got a coach that's won the Iron Bowl. Ole Miss had a deal in place with Dave Doran once upon a time to become the head coach. Matt Luke went to Starkville and upset Mississippi State. Matt Luke was the coach.
People who like to lose a game and you're out, like, that's this weekend is.
Oh,
like,
this is sweaty palms, like, tight booty holes. This is it all.
I mean, from the Egg Bowl to the Iron Bowl to, I mean, I'm just looking at, there's so many, you lose.
I mean, Louisville, it's done. Louisville's hosting Kentucky, and Kentucky's playing for a chance to get bowl eligible.
Right. They lose?
And Louisville last week, like, they either benched Miller Moss, or they just decided, like, no more Miller Moss. And the new quarterback was awful. There's nothing worse than taking an underdog and then seeing the new quarterback come out in the first series. You're like, well, this is over. That was my Saturday.
But A&M Texas, that's one. Woo.
Gig 'em, baby.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll do our TV timeout. We'll also get into the list during hour number two, as well as welcome CJ Hurt to the program. Stick around. You're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. We'll get in.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Cyber Monday is on at Blinds.com. Transform your windows and get your home ready for the holidays with up to 50% off site-wide. Plus, doorbuster deals on popular styles at Blinds.com. Blinds.com is the number one online retailer for custom window treatments. Go DIY and do it all 100% online, or choose white glove service with expert design guidance and professional installation for a seamless start-to-finish experience. Whether it's blackout, motorized, sheer, or solar, you'll find massive deals at Blinds.com on premium brands that make any room feel warm and inviting. With Blinds.com, you can browse online, order free samples, and schedule professional measure and install with vetted experts. Backed by award-winning designers and thousands of five-star reviews, Blinds.com has helped millions pull off that wow reveal before the guests arrive. Hurry, Blinds.com's Cyber Monday Super Sale won't last long. Shop now and save up to 50% site-wide and get a free professional measure. Limited time offer, restrictions apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
To more of the coaching carousel aspect of this during the list, we'll also get into Shedeur Sanders' big debut yesterday and a few other comments about that. We'll also welcome CJ Hurt to the program during the next hour. But Kevin, I wanted to get your thoughts on this because this has been at least part of the discourse is what is the role of College Game Day right now, at least in the college football landscape? And over at Awful Announcing, let's see who wrote this. Sean Keeley wrote the following. The college football story of the weekend is undoubtedly the situation brewing at Ole Miss. LSU and Florida are openly courting head coach Lane Kiffin. Meanwhile, Kiffin isn't exactly quieting any rumors or reports about his desire to remain in Oxford. While the AD tried and failed to calm things down with a statement on Friday, we face the real possibility that Kiffin will lead the Rebels to the college football playoff and then leave before they attempt to win a national title, all because of the way college football coaching carousel works. While Pat McAfee pleaded with Kiffin to stay at Ole Miss and keep building the program, Nick Saban used the opportunity to rail against the whole dang system. Quote, everybody should be thinking about the players, Saban said. Players should be able to play for their coach for the entire season. Players shouldn't be penalized if a coach leaves because the committee has the opportunity, if a player or coach doesn't participate, they can sink you in the rankings. We should match the academic calendar with the football calendar, said Saban, who thinks aligning key dates would help stem the tide of coaches leaving during the season. This is not a Lane Kiffin conundrum. This is a college football conundrum, and we need some leadership to step up and change the rules. So the reason why I bring this up is this is becoming a narrative, and I hope everybody's sitting down for this.
I am.
Nick Saban is represented by Jimmy Sexton, as is one Lane Kiffin. Now, is that the only thing that is happening? No. I also think that there are some merits to the argument that part of the issue here is the calendar. And for those that are going like, well, what do you mean? That's generic. Because we are still under the illusion that academics and the academic calendar matters, you cannot just have the transfer portal date be, let's say, like the NFL would do free agency after the combine in April. Well, we're still pretending like the academic calendar of the semester system matters. So they open the portal on January 2nd and keep it open for whatever, 2 or 3 weeks until semesters start. So because of that, you now run into the situation where teams that want a new coach, they want to have somebody in place so that they can take advantage of the portal and the high school recruiting calendar, which is I think, what, the early signing period is December, first week of December. So you want to have someone that can take advantage of that. And the argument would be, if this were like the NFL, he would be able to finish the season out. The team would be able to finish the season out. And then you could have the coaching carousel. I guess the only pushback I would have against that, because I do think to a certain degree there's merits to that argument. There are a lot of other coaches that are also going to be a part of the carousel that are handling this a very different way than Lane Kiffin is.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's true, but the both can be correct, right?
Yes, so I don't think this is an either or. Well, I think what I am saying is,
well, because Lane is leaving. Right now, we've seen most of the coaches, well, he's not necessarily leaving. It's not breaking news or something. You've just turned the radio on. We don't know for sure yet. But it feels like he might be leaving. Everybody else is deciding to stay.
The chancellor,
so that's why he's handling it different.
The chancellor at Ole Miss, Glenn Boyce, went on.
Because I defend Lane Kiffin.
The chancellor at Ole Miss went on Richard Cross, one of my buddies. He went on his radio show this morning in Oxford, and essentially his entire pitch was about Ole Miss's home field advantage, the players and the young men that he wanted to talk about. There was a noticeable, not a much of a discussion. And Richard asked like the key questions, like what happened in the meeting, whatnot. Like there was an avoidance of all that. But it essentially was like making all the talking points that you would use if you found out your coach was leaving on Saturday and you were still trying to make the case that your team is a playoff team.
Right. So if he leaves after the Egg Bowl, is that going to impact? That's not going to impact anything. If they lose and he leaves after the Egg Bowl,
that's no chance
of them making it because of a bad loss.
No chance is too strong because in the end.
But they can use your coach's argument against you in addition to the fact you lost to a.
Other results would matter. They would still have to deal with the fact that Ole Miss went to Oklahoma, and presuming Oklahoma beats LSU, they would both be sitting there at 10-2. Ole Miss went to Oklahoma and beat them by 8.
Oh, head-to-head matters.
Correct. So, like,
but it was with a different coach. If he's leaving. Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's going to be messy.
Now, if they go 11-1, I don't think the coaching situation is going to get held against them.
So when is the ideal time? As we go back to Saban's comment of when under this current era they were in for college football, when should the portal be activated?
I mean, the problem is, like, the answer is after the season. The issue is
at the end of
yeah, like, January. I don't even want, like, even if you want to say, like, back to the old signing day of, like, February. But the problem is schools have started.
For the semester.
Correct. And we'd still be doing operating, like.
But the non-football semester, though. So what? Is there not a way, I guess there's spring, all that, but is there not a way to make that work?
I mean, what they would tell you is they're not backing down on the academic side of it. Because, like, when you and I were students once upon a time, as non-athletes, like, we either had to transfer at the end of a semester.
Or the beginning of a semester.
Right.
And so they're still using those.
Correct.
Rules. What if they could move it even further back? Is that even a thing?
I feel like their argument would be no, because then the players completely miss out
on spring ball,
spring practice, and that's where it seems like a lot of the installation of what these coaches want to do is.
I would also point out, when did Trinidad Chambliss show up in Oxford? Was that May?
Something like that.
I mean, college, you know, that's around the time.
The real problem is because the transfer portal is.
When is spring practice exactly on the calendar? When is
it going? It depends on the school, but I mean, usually, you know, like some schools do it late February. I think some schools are, it's becoming less and less important. And also people don't want to have the high profile spring practice because if it starts to, there's more film out there.
How long does it last?
I think, what is it, George, used to be 15 practices, I think?
Something like that.
It usually lasts in that range of like 3 to 4 weeks, depending
on. I was
going to
say, wasn't it like 13 practices and then the game? Or like there was some weird margin that they gave for
Correct.
It.
So it would just move everything back?
Correct.
Could we? Is that possible? I mean, is it needed?
They are saying,
would that be too much of a disruption to say there's no such thing as spring practice anymore, and it's May practice?
I don't think
and
so.
you do practice. It seems at to the be end of the semester.
It seems to be Memorial a Day practice.
They don't want to do Memorial Day practice.
Listen, I think spring football is completely outdated.
Memorial Day
now,
football.
Now, if you want to talk about,
everybody wants summer football. We want summer football.
Do we?
I don't. That's what they say. You know, on the commercials
allegedly.
For the United Football League.
Yeah, I haven't noticed much of an appetite.
they could play in Memphis. They could all play. You know, no.
I want to be clear. I think that there is value to throwing with your receivers.
Yes.
Learning the install ahead of time.
Right.
All that. Do I think it is necessary to go through like a grueling spring practice to build like toughness and whatnot? Like, no. That seems worthless to me. Like. Basically, having OTA seems like it would be useful to me.
Yeah,
but
more NFL style,
correct.
Like mini camp OTAs before you get into real training camp.
The bigger
so
issue.
So you just say just put it.
I think you should just move everything
deep,
back.
Like, everything in like July, August.
Correct. Now we would be running into like the 1 month where coaches actually get off. Phrasing.
Well, no, they'd be off in February.
They would.
You would not be able.
They'd
to
be cruton.
It's cruton season.
They would be off, so they're, yeah, well, I mean, they get paid a lot.
I this is like a...
Actually, no, excuse me, that's not cruton season then, that's tampering season.
Yeah, that's, well, everything.
But if the portal...
There's no such
thing,
the tampering never stops.
If there's not an early January portal and you have to wait even longer, is that a... I mean, I don't know, what the solution is, I don't have a solution, but I mean, this doesn't work.
So I think, here would be the academic side of it. There are some people that if they can't transfer in January and get to the new school, they wouldn't have certain credit because, you know, not every credit transfers.
And would there be different tampering that's happening, I guess, too?
Tampering's happening all the time. So, like, I've never really bought that as the excuse. It's more of the reason why they're saying we've got to go with the date is if you try to get into the portal recruiting late, you're going to be out. Like, you're going to wind up like North Carolina did, where you wind up getting a bunch of players that you overpaid for that are not the level of player that you need to be competitive.
And there may be no fixing this unless the academic calendar gets moved back and you don't start school until.
Or do you just sit there
until the college football playoffs are over?
Or do you ignore the academic calendar?
Well, they've got to get new classes and grades and...
Do they?
I'm saying that's what they're saying. So I'm trying to figure out a solution that would include that. But to your point, the power of College Game Day right now is very interesting because I don't think it's the show that's powerful. I do think Nick Saban is. I mean, could there be more of an authority of a voice? But it's like Michael Jordan now on the NBA on NBC. It's like there's no bigger name that you can have than Nick Saban still right now to tell you about.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Cyber Monday is on at Blinds.com.
Transform your windows and get your home ready for the holidays with up to 50% off site-wide. Plus, doorbuster deals on popular styles at Blinds.com. Blinds.com is the number one online retailer for custom window treatments. Go DIY and do it all 100% online, or choose white glove service with expert design guidance and professional installation for a seamless start-to-finish experience. Whether it's blackout, motorized, sheer, or solar, you'll find massive deals at Blinds.com on premium brands that make any room feel warm and inviting. With Blinds.com, you can browse online, order free samples, and schedule professional measure and install with vetted experts. Backed by award-winning designers and thousands of five-star reviews, Blinds.com has helped millions pull off that wow reveal before the guests arrive. Hurry, Blinds.com's Cyber Monday super sale won't last long. Shop now and save up to 50% site-wide and get a free professional measure. Limited time offer, restrictions apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.